When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Tribes, where you'll go to Middlesbrough FC podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Musgrove. I'm joined by Dom Shaw and Craig Johns. Plenty to talk about. We took a little break through the international break, but we are back. And like we say, we have plenty to talk about. We're going to start with a quick transfer window deadline day roundup. I'm going to come to Craig first. Craig, just talk us through deadline day and what stood out for you.
Yeah, it was an interesting day. In the end, we went in knowing Borough still needed to do quite a bit. They wrapped up the Anel Hernandez loan from Norwich City. But we knew that they still kind of, you know, were a few players short. I think ideally they would have liked four new players. Certainly Neil Warnock wouldn't have minded four new players coming in on deadline day. They just had the kind of final bit of confirmation with Sporer and the complication that he had in Portugal to wrap up. They had Saliki sorted and coming in from France. But Warnock would have also liked kind of left back cover. And if it was doable, he would have liked another centre forward as well. But they managed to wrap up the Sporer deal and the Saliki deal, but yeah, they went into deadline day, I think it's fair to say, with a few options kind of for left back cover, because as we know, Mark Bowler is the only senior left back at the club now, but for various reasons, you know, various targets maybe didn't want to come to Borough, or their clubs didn't want to let them out. They didn't manage to get that left back cover. And in terms of, you know, a striker, I think most likely would probably that extra striker would have probably been a Premier League loan. And again, you know, there was just nothing happening on that front for them. So they brought in Sporer and Saliki, 12 signings overall in the window, which I think is a very good window in the climate for Borough. They are still short, particularly at left back. I think they can get away with what they've got in terms of forward options. But certainly that left back one is a bit of an issue. But, you know, as we know, they can sign a free agent. So it is a market they are looking at.
And for you, Dom, anything that stood out in particular?
I think the Saliki signing is an interesting one, because I think that is maybe just kind of identifying a player and taking the opportunity to sign him, rather than thinking this is an area that we desperately need to strengthen in. You know, you looked at the front third of the pitch. You definitely needed one striker or forward. Uche Piers, who's the only senior striker, with Tuba Akpom going. I know there's Josh Coburn, but obviously you can't ask too much of an 18-year-old kid who's only played a couple of games. So we knew the Sporer deal was going to happen. We knew that left back was an area they wanted to strengthen. You probably looked, and midfield was the one area where you'd say that they looked well stocked, or quite well stocked, when you consider there was Housen, Morsi before obviously he went, possibly McNair, Piero, Crooks could play deeper there, Tavernier can play deeper depending on what system you're playing. So there's plenty of options. Whereas with Saliki, it's probably, you know, just taking the opportunity to sign a player who's spent the last few years playing European football, who's clearly got a lot of pedigree. There's been a lot of interest from La Liga in the last couple of seasons. I spoke to a guy from L'Equipe this week and just found out a bit more about Saliki as a player and why he's left France, really. And he said there has been a lot of interest from Spain, but for one reason or another, that didn't move. He was expected to leave in January, but didn't. And I think it got the point this summer where it suited club and player for Saliki to move on. Borough obviously pounced. I'm looking forward to seeing what he offers. It kind of, you know, we talked a lot over the summer, haven't we, about the intrigue of Martin Piero, and that's absolutely the case with Sporer and Saliki as well. Both players who come with international pedigree from good leagues, the top leagues in there in the countries they've been playing. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. And I think Hernandez on paper is an excellent signing. You know, he knows what the Championship's like. Won promotion twice. Was a major player for Norwich, especially in their first promotion under Daniel Farke. He obviously scored at the Riverside that season. Frustrating couple of years with injuries, but I think he's exactly what Borough needed. And completely agree with what Neil Warnock said in that Hernandez probably needs Borough at this point in his career as much as Borough need Hernandez. So I think that might turn out to be a really shrewd signing.
Yeah, I was dead impressed with the fact they got Hernandez. Like you say, he has had a couple of injuries. He still played 19 times last season. I think it shows a good character as well, the fact he could have stayed there up at Norwich in the Premier League, probably wouldn't have played all that often, if at all. But he's, you know, he's decided to come up to Borough, first team football, prove himself, probably with the aim of getting back into that squad, that first team for Norwich next season. But I think it shows a really good sign of his character to say, do you know what, I do need first team football and I'm going to go out and get it.
I spoke to Michael Bailey, who covers Norwich for The Athletic, and he was and has covered Norwich for a fair few years. He covered them for the local press there before he moved to The Athletic, and he was purring about Hernandez as a character as well as what he offers as a player, saying, you know, real character, real infectious energy. Obviously he's got quite the backstory, really. Moved from Cuba to Germany when he was four, couldn't speak a word of the language. And it was his stepdad who got him into football at that age. And obviously it was Christian Ziger, actually, who gave him his debut in Germany, not the most popular figure on Teesside. But and obviously he moved over to Norwich in 2016 and has done really well, settled quite quickly, really. I just think, you know, he's not 32, 33 at the end of his career. You know, really, he should be at his peak now. It's just because he's had a few frustrating injuries the last couple of seasons that he's lost his way somewhat at Norwich. So I think that could be an exciting signing. And I think from a football point of view, Blackburn, we saw double up on Isaiah Jones. Now you look at Borough's balance and Borough's options in the front third. If teams choose to double up on Jones, and I completely expect Jones still to be in the team, despite the fact that they've obviously strengthened a lot in the front third. If teams double up on Jones now, you're going to pay the price elsewhere because Borough have got options across the forward line. So you either don't double up on Jones and then he wreaks havoc on one flank, or you do double up and then let the likes of Hernandez or Tavernier or Sparra kind of flourish with that bit of extra space. I'm really, for the first time in a fair few years, I think Borough's forward line looks really balanced.
Craig, what do you reckon on Hernandez? Are you impressed? Are you excited to see him?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, for all the reasons Dom's just said, I think, you know, there's often sometimes a bit of, you know, shall we say, doubt or, you know, a bit of concern when players come in on loan. You know, what is it as good as signing someone permanently? Obviously, it's always good to get players in permanently. But, you know, for all the reasons Dom discussed there, I think this deal makes a lot of sense because Hernandez does have a lot to prove. And he does, you know, he needed Borough as much as Borough needed him. And he is obviously a quality operator. So, you know, if Borough can get him up to speed, can keep him fit, and, you know, he's going to be an excellent prospect for them. And as Dom mentioned, you know, the attacking options there's now so many. And, you know, as he mentioned, we're doubling up on Isaiah Jones. If they start doing that, it starts creating space elsewhere in the team. And I think that for the first time, certainly since I've covered Borough, the attacking options right now look really exciting. And you know, they suddenly do look like there could be an attacking force. And I wrote a piece the other day about this and, you know, how, you know, they might have teams starting to, you know, it's maybe a dramatic word, but fear them, you know, like and send teams into retreat because they're worried about what Borough's attacking players could do to them. It'll send teams into retreat, and that's something I don't think they had at all really last season.
Mike's gone there, mate. I'll jump in while that's off. We'll come to you, Craig. Alex Hughes says, is there any free agents coming in? Does anyone know? That's obviously something we talked about in the aftermath of the deadline day, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. As we I noted earlier, obviously, after the transfer window closes, you can, of course, sign still free agents. And interestingly, as we record this on Thursday at lunchtime, the Borough squad has just gone in, hasn't it, to the AFL. The AFL have just confirmed all the official squads, and you can register up to 25 players, but interestingly, Borough have only registered 23. So there is a couple of spaces where they could bring in free agents. It was definitely a market we were told they were going to monitor, as we mentioned. Certainly short at left back, left-sided cover, and potentially even a striker as well. So it was a market that we're going to monitor. But obviously, as we know, we've kind of deadlined here departures of Sam Morsy and Jed Spence. There was also that need to kind of balance the books at the club. They brought in 12 players. So any kind of free agents that they were to look at would have to be, viable. It would have to work out for the club. They're not going to bring somebody in just for the sake of bringing somebody in. It's got to make sense in terms of them coming in and actually adding something to the squad, but also working financially as well. Because obviously it's no use, getting rid of somebody like Sam Morsy, for example, to balance your books, but then bringing in a left back who ultimately doesn't add much to your team, doesn't add much quality, and then tip the books in the wrong direction again in doing that.
It's like we almost planned it. My mic was on mute there. It wouldn't be an episode of Tripe Super without some mic issues. Mark Wetter has put a question about Morsy. He says, great window apart from letting Morsy go. Personally, he says he knows Housen's been great, but he's now 33. Morsy's 29. I'd have let Housen go and make Morsy our captain to give him more responsibility on the pitch. Dom, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on Mark's point there?
I mean, I don't think it's a case of one or the other, really. I certainly wouldn't have let Housen go. I don't think, I think Warnock has talked a lot, and I know I'm going to contradict myself here, but what Warnock has talked a lot about the need for leaders. Now, he's let, obviously a leader has left in Morsy, but Housen's your club captain, isn't he? He's kind of a real standard setter across the club, in both off the pitch and on it. So Housen going was never an option. I was surprised Morsy left. It happened very quickly, didn't it, at the end of the window. And when the news first broke of Ipswich's interest, I kind of thought, well, they'll get told that he's going nowhere. And reading Mark Ashton, who's obviously the new chief executive, which having left Bristol City, reading his quotes this week, he was saying that at the start of the summer, Paul Corker obviously knows Morsy well, managed him at Chesterfield and Wigan, and he identified Morsy as a top target. But at the start of the summer, they didn't expect that he'd be available. And it's interesting that it was really late in the window that they learned that he was, and obviously they managed to do that deal. Morsy dropping to League One, he's a Championship player for me. I don't think Sam Morsy should be playing in League One. But obviously there's the Paul Cook appeal, having played for him before. Ipswich will now bet to go up literally at the start of the season, so I haven't been too pleased to see how they've started. But, Morsy will be hoping, and I'll hope to help turn it round for them. Now, the Saliki stuff, obviously, he left and Saliki signs. Borough knew that Saliki was coming in, so it might have been one in, one out. And obviously, there was a need to balance the books as well in what had been a very active and busy summer, bringing 12 players in. But it does beg the question as to kind of, are you now lacking that bit of steel in the midfield, I think? Because in the game against QPR, when Morsy wasn't in, Borough kind of lost away in midfield with Housen and McNair. And then the next game, when they played at Derby, it was obvious that Morsy was going to be back in the team, and he was. And Borough, had that bit more steel about them. And Saliki isn't that type of player, or so I'm led to believe, talking to guys who've watched him play. He's more of a kind of ball carrier, looks forward. Now, obviously, you can be a bit of both. But yeah, I just wonder whether A, they've left themselves short, and B, it did come as a surprise, and especially, only a year after he signed from Wigan, was a key player for Warnock. But I wish him well. He's come across great, hasn't he, on the pitch and off it. He's made a real effort with fans. And funnily enough, I spoke to a guy this week. I went down to watch Mask United play, and I was talking to a lad I know there who's a teacher, and he was saying that Morsy had actually agreed to go into the school. They'd done an appeal in the school, and Morsy had kind of supported that appeal and agreed to go in. And I think it was planned for the next couple of weeks. And obviously the school are gutted to know that he's gone elsewhere. But I heard a few stories of that, of kind of the bits and bobs Morsi did behind the scenes and kind of the engagement, the interaction with fans. So he came across as a good bloke, and I wish him well at Ipswich.
Yeah, I'd echo a lot of what Dom says there on Morsi. I think, you know, he seemed an excellent character kind of behind the scenes, a nice guy. But, you know, as Dom said, it does leave you a bit concerned about that kind of stealing in the midfield. I think while Houston plays in that deep lying role, I don't think he's the kind of tenacious midfielder that Morsi is. Morsi obviously gives you that bite in midfield, and I do worry, particularly as it does look like it's kind of one out, one in with Saliki, that they have left themselves short in that sense, because as Dom says, it doesn't seem like Saliki is that type of midfielder. But it is interesting thinking back to the Blackburn game, and obviously Borough kind of went 3-5-2 in that game, and they went with Housen and Morsi in the middle. Now in pre-season, Housen was out injured at this point, so it was actually Morsi playing the role, but they did kind of want to experiment with 3-5-2, but with just one of those midfielders deep lying and protecting the defence, and he wanted the second midfielder to push forward a lot more. I remember in particular the Plymouth game, because in Devon they were obviously Plymouth were the toughest opponents. Matt Crooks played that second midfield role, and it was his first appearance for the club after signing. And I remember a lot early on, Warnock shouting on to Crooks and asking him to get more advanced, to get further forward, because he wanted Morsi to be left isolated in the midfield. He wanted to see how Borough cope with that. So I do wonder if selling Morsi, you know, we know it's a kind of, he did an interesting interview this week where he spoke about perhaps being a victim of Borough's new direction, which I think is probably a fair comment from him in terms of, you know, Saliki represents this new direction, which we should definitely mention when talking about Borough's transfer window. You know, they are now looking at this kind of, you know, if you like, these hidden gems and these players who they're now hoping to bring in, who might be younger and have potential sell-on value. We saw it with Mark Pierre, or we saw it with Sporar, and then Saliki too. And you do wonder, you know, basically because they signed these 12, they had to balance the books. In the final days of the window, they ultimately, you know, touted out a few of the first-team players because they needed to balance the books. And it just so happened that Morsi was one of the players who there was interest in and who they could go out, which was ultimately one of the reasons why he has ultimately gone. But yeah, I do wonder if you know, that transfer, the Sporar one, the Saliki one, does lead to a bit of a change in the kind of dynamics of Borough's midfield, and whether we will see more of that 3-5-2 with kind of only Housen protecting the back three or five, and Saliki or a Pierre or a Crooks asked to play the second midfield role and kind of look more advanced and forward.
Over on Gazette Live, we've got an article from Dom about the answers we'll soon find out about Warnock's side in the coming weeks. And one of the things you've mentioned, Dom, is about the shape. Craig's discussed it a little bit there, one potential option. What other options does Warnock have? And do you see them being a team that presses more given the incomings this window?
Craig mentioned, obviously, playing kind of three centre-halves there and wing-backs. For me, Borough are more suited now to a flat-back four simply because they've got so many wide attacking options, and I think you risk not getting the best out of those players if you play with wing backs. Now, Jones obviously did a very good job against Blackburn in that role, but you could, I think, you know, there's only certain teams you can play Jones in a role like that, can't you, and have him kind of thinking forward rather than being conscious of what's going on behind. I look at Borough now and I think you're made for a back four and 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. You know, Jones, Hernandez, Tavernier, Watmore, so many options. Alessania, so many options. Sporar all playing off at Piezu, and you've got plenty of options for that kind of midfield. The two kind of midfield protectors as well. And, you know, I look at the amount of forward options they've got now, and it does beg the question as to kind of what you do with Matt Crooks. But then you look back in the summer when Crooks signed, and Paul Warne was saying then that he can absolutely play as an eight as well as a 10. I mean, he's played as a nine as well for Borough this season, hasn't he? And I do think now, given the amount of options Borough have got in those kind of forward areas, chances are we're going to see Crooks play that little deeper. But you know, that's what Borough have been crying out for, really, in recent years. A midfielder with the kind of instinct to look forward, to make the late runs into the box with an eye for goal. I fully expect Crooks to get 10 goals this season. And you think last season, Borough's top scorer did Watmore end with 9? So, you know, you would fully expect, given the start they've made, for Crooks to certainly be within range of that. But that's the shape. I just think they've got the options now to have forward players playing off Igbiezu with a flat back four, with Bowler and Dyke Steele as your full backs.
Before we mention Jed Spence heading to Forest, I just want to ask you guys what happened with Van Berg. In the last podcast we had, it looked like that deal was going to go through, that the winger was going to arrive at Borough. He ended up going over to France. Craig, what happened with that? Was it just a case of the player had the choice and he chose to head over to France?
Yeah, pretty much. Everything was agreed between Borough and Heerenveen where he was going to be arriving from. But, you know, ultimately, is it Stade Rennais where he went? I can't remember now. But ultimately they came in last moment and he had the choice between Borough and them in France's top flight, and he ultimately chose to go there. I think there was those pictures. Was it his first game or certainly one of his early appearances for them? He was playing PSG and he tried to get Messi's shirt, didn't he? And I think Messi turned him down. But you know, it kind of just highlights or emphasizes the pull of going to kind of Ligue 1 and playing there. I'm sure it was a shame for Borough that they missed out on him. They've done a lot of work kind of scouting wise, but ultimately, you know, that's what happened. Somebody came in and he chose there instead.
I was going to say, you know, if someone had said to us when we did that last pod that within 3 or 4 days, Van Bergen will be getting turned down for a shirt swap with Messi, you'd have been thinking, what's going on here? No, he's coming to Borough. That's not right.
Jed Spence then, chaps, off to Forest. I know we have spoken previously about Spence and about how he's got the potential and it's kind of in the balance which way it goes. Off to Forest, first team football, I suppose that's just crucial for him to continue pressing on and developing in his career.
Yeah, it's a difficult one with Spence, isn't it? In that, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, for the last year there's been Premier League links, hasn't there? Now, you know, look, reading between the lines now, you wonder whether that's come from Spencer's side, whether that's his agent potentially trying to drive up interest, given that, you know, he's ended up in the Championship with Forest. Southampton were linked late on, but the word definitively very quickly from Southampton was that there was no interest. He wasn't going there. Leicester were repeatedly linked. Wolves were linked. Everton were linked. We've had the conversation again and again, haven't we? What Warnock said last year, he could end up in the Premier League, he could end up in non-league. And I think, you know, for those of us who've kind of seen what Spence is capable of, it's infuriating to see a player who doesn't kick on. But then again, you know, as coaches, as managers, as those around him, you can only do so much, can't you? And ultimately, at some point, it's going to come down to the player. And you don't have to do much reading between the lines on what's been said over the last year to see that it's clear. I mean, Warnock said it, hasn't he, in black and white. It's over to Jed now. Now, Craig, you'll be better qualified to speak about this than me, given that you've twice spoken to Warnock about this season. But the kind of suggestion early in the season was that the penny might have dropped, but then a couple of weeks later that maybe wasn't the case, and then Spence loses his place in the team again. And when you consider that Darnell Fisher's out for what looks to be a long period, Borough aren't you know, incredibly well stocked at right back on the right side. So really, the fact that they've chosen to allow Spence to go is quite telling, really, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, ultimately it was kind of another one of these, you know, balance of the book things. He was another player who was kind of touted out and the interest came. So it was an opportunity to kind of get what I presume would be the majority, if not all, of his wages off the books for the season. And it also makes sense for Borough in terms of, you know, he can go out and hopefully play a lot of games at Forest and you know, let's see what comes of that. Either, you know, he might have a good season at Forest and either he can return to Borough a better player, a more all-rounded player who Borough can then benefit from, or they can maybe sell on at a decent price because of his impressive season at Forest. or ultimately, you know, he doesn't do well at Forest, and you know, and then there's a decision on the hands with what you do with him, because he ultimately hasn't provided the goods there either. But yeah, as Dom says, I asked Warnock about him after the Bristol City game. He looked well in pre-season. I thought, obviously, last season, as the season went on, it just got worse and worse for Spence. And, you know, in the end, he was almost in the team because he had to be, with depleted numbers. But he kept consistently costing the team goals. Yeah, people, there was talk of, like, are we being too harsh on Jed Spence? But I think, you know, yes, he's still a young boy. I think he's 22 now, maybe 20. He was 21 at the time, I believe. And yes, he's still young, but you're taught at a very young age to you know, stick to your man, mark your man, don't let your man go. And he did it about three or four times towards the end of last season, where his man would run off him and he wouldn't follow his man. And the team would score. It would be his man scoring, you know, a few times at the end of last season. And, you know, in any team, that's unforgivable. But in a Neil Warnock team in particular, Neil Warnock's not going to stand for that kind of, you know, defensive work. And so his future did look bleak, really, at the end of last season. And then all of a sudden, pre-season, he kind of returned. And yeah, he did look different in pre-season. He looked to be enjoying his football. I've mentioned it before. He looked like he was really enjoying his football, really enjoying the training that we saw down in Devon. And in that final game in Devon against Plymouth, he did that kind of Rabona cross, which, you know, looked fancy and just had all the hallmarks of a player whose confidence was coming back again. And then, of course, he started the season. He made an impact from the bench at Fulham. And that game against Bristol City, I asked Warnock about him after, he was really good in that game as well, playing as a, I think he played as a winger that day, didn't he? And that's why I asked Warnock, you know, is something different with Spence? And Warnock had kind of said, listen, we had a chat, and things do seem to have changed with Jed. He mentioned that he'd been in training. He was first in training and last out. And, you know, those were the kind of things, that kind of attitude, if you like, off the pitch, that did need a bit of a change with Spence. And the signs were good, but Warnock did say that he was reserving judgment. You know, he'd done it for a week, but let's do it, you know, consistently for a long period before we start seeing he's completely turned the corner. And unfortunately, what followed that Bristol City game was the QPR game, where, you know, those feelings that Spence was once again susceptible for two of QPR's three goals that night. And I think ultimately that just that kind of swayed it, if you like, to Spence becoming a player that ultimately Warnock was happy to allow to leave.
Well, fingers crossed he hits the ground running and maybe can prove a few people wrong. Before I just get you to sum up your thoughts on the squad, now the window is closed, a few questions from our viewers and listeners. We'll go here with Stephen Cramphorn first of all, and he asks you both, with the new signings, who can you see playing across midfield if you had to pick? So I'll come to you first, Dom, and then Craig, you jump in after Dom's given his view.
I think if you're playing a 4-2-3-1, which I said, then Housen and Crooks would be your two for me. Craig?
Yeah, I think, again, it depends on how you go, kind of formation-wise, because I think, you know, well, Dom's absolutely right, 4-2-3-1 probably suits the attacking options Borough now have. But, you know, there'll be various games, like, I know we're going to come on to it, but, you know, Saturday at Coventry, they play I think it's 3-4-2-1 or 3-4-1-2. And it wouldn't be a surprise to see Borough match that. I think one thing Warnock wants is that kind of flexibility and fluidity, where Borough will change depending on who they're playing against. So I realise that's a very political answer rather than just answering the question. But I think you've got to go with Housen in there. I agree with Dom, if it's 4-2-3-1, Crooks probably looks your best bet to play alongside him. Although then, you're probably leaving Paddy McNair out of the defence, so does he come into the midfield? But, you know, the two of them didn't look too good in the second half at QPR. No. With that 3-5-2 that I spoke about, I'm quite interested to see Housen as that lone deep Lapierre, how he does in that role. And then I think either one of Saliki or Piero, obviously both will probably need a bit of time to settle into English football, but I think either one of those two players could be interesting as the kind of more advanced central midfield option, the player who from deeper positions looks to advance you forward. I think either Saliki or Piero would look good in that position.
Yeah, just to jump in, that was kind of based on what we've seen so far. I think the interesting thing is going to be kind of how Saliki and Sparar settle. We know from Piero that it's not, you know, you don't settle overnight. But I think for Saliki coming from a European league, it's going to be easier. And his interview this week was great, you know, talking about how he's always been fascinated by the English game, the passion of the English game, and how he's not afraid of the championship and how he relishes the challenge. I thought that was a kind of really, really enjoyable and entertaining interview.
It was a great interview. I do wonder if he's already started a season on Football Manager with Borough.
Yeah, I'd seen that. He was playing Footy Manager. Yeah. We'll have to ask him. If he's put up for press, we'll have to ask him who he leaves out in the midfield. And is Paddy McNair a centre-half or a centre midfielder?
Simon Reynolds asks, he makes the point, in his opinion, about the central midfield, and he says we have one of the best in the club, but he's on loan at another club, and that is Lewis Wing. So what's your thoughts on that point?
I like Wing. I always have liked Wing. But I think it was clear that he didn't feature in Warnock's plans. He's kind of, you know, even two or three years ago, he wasn't a kid, but I guess he was in professional terms, given that he come from the Northern League and he was kind of such a novice in championship terms. But now he's at the age, isn't he? He's at the stage where I think he not just needs to be playing, but needs to be a key player, as he was at Rotherham, despite the fact they went down and he impressed there, and as he is at Sheffield Wednesday. And, you know, he made it clear, didn't he, in that interview he'd done with our sister site, Yorkshire Live, when he said then, although he signed the extension at Borough, you know, it was absolutely clear that he's open to a permanent move in the summer. So, I like Wing, but I think it suited all parties, really, for him to move on.
Craig, anything to add on Wing?
No, I think, you know, Dom's right, really. I think when the loan came, it was actually a bit of a shock because they were down in Devon, of course, and I know they were playing non-league opposition, but they were all playing against that same opposition. And I thought in the first two games, Wing was probably Borough's best player in both of them. And then, of course, he missed the Plymouth one with an injury. And then next thing, he's heading out to Sheffield Wednesday on loan. I think, like Dom says, I think ultimately, you know, he probably didn't feel like he had that trust and love from Neil Warnock, and he probably wants that and needs that. And I think, ultimately Borough wanted to, and I think probably did, strengthen in those positions in this window. I would imagine they look at both Saliki and Piero as upgrades on Lewis Wing. Of course, time will tell on that front whether that proves correct.
The questions are rolling in, so we do appreciate them. So anyone else watching that wants to get their question in, keep popping them into the comments and we'll get through them. We've got one here from James Bell, and he says, is it worth trying to get another striker in on a free deal as backup? Our problem for years has been very few goals. I don't know who wants to jump in there. Dom, first.
I think it's certainly something, you know, a market Borough will be monitoring, you know, re-emphasise a point Craig made earlier in the pod where Borough aren't going to be signing free agents for the sake of it, you know, just because I guess like your recruitment policies and your approach to recruitment and the type of player you're bringing in, you can't go out of the window just because they're a free agent. They still need to fit as players and as people. And it's clear, you know, you only have to look at the signings they've made and the direction Borough are taking there's a bigger picture. There's bigger picture thinking going on, and they are kind of changing the way they're approaching the window. So just because kind of a name might be available on a free doesn't mean they're going to jump. I think the other thing, and it's slightly different given we're coming out of the pandemic and it's been such a difficult time for players and clubs, but you know, a lot of players are free agents for a reason, aren't they? Especially at this stage, once the season's underway. Now, for some unfortunate players like Duncan Watmore last season, it's because, you know, I guess them probably unfairly in a lot of cases, they might get a reputation of being injury prone or whatever, when in actual fact, you know, if you can kind of spot a gem like Borough did with Watmore and took the chance on him, and obviously they've been rewarded there. So I think it's a market they'll be monitoring closely. And if a deal works, if a player works, and if he fits, then I absolutely would expect Borough would look to bring someone in. But not for the sake of it. Only if it does work. Only if it fits.
Yeah, I mean, to add to that, I did a piece after the transfer window looking at kind of who were the best free agents available. And I think you'd probably see that the two best strikers still available that Borough could sign would be Daniel Sturridge and Andy Carroll, who, you know, they both have had those injury troubles in the past, and I would imagine both, you know, would want a considerable wage, and neither are really deals I could see Borough going down, to be honest. I think a much bigger priority is left back cover, if they could find somebody, a free agent for that, and I think there are some, you know, decent enough options in the free agent market for that. I would imagine that's a higher priority than the striker. Remember, we've got Kieran Scott arriving at some point this month from Norwich as the new head of football operations, I think is his official title. He's going to play a big role in kind of, you know, the transfer policy going forward, this new direction Borough are going in. I think with that in mind, and one thing I've been told about Kieran Scott is what particularly impressed Borough about him was his extensive knowledge of players from all across the world. You know, if you asked him about a player, you know, in Romania, for example, he'll know that player and he'll have a lot of information on that player. But he'll also have a lot of information on some young player in the Scottish second tier, for example. Apparently, he has a huge, like, database of players who he knows, and, you know, he'll know when they're available, if they're available, blah, blah, blah. So I think, you know, looking at that and considering that, Borough have probably got enough in the striker department to get you to at least January, with Ikpeazu, Sporar at a push, Crooks and Watmore can both fill in there as well. You get through to January and then perhaps Kieran Scott can maybe find you a gem there, you know, and I think that would be more in keeping with this new direction that Borough want to go in.
There's a lot of excitement about Kieran Scott, so I'll ask you both question him in just a moment. We'll just finish on the squad with this from John McManus, and he says he's genuinely excited with the new signings. Which one do you think will make the biggest difference to the team and why? So I'll come to you first, Craig, on that one.
For me, I think Ikpeazu. I think last season, Borough were crying out for that kind of focal point up top there. And I think he's already shown that in his performances for Borough. You know, it's not just, you know, his contribution on the ball, but it's what he does off the ball as well. The way he hassles and hustles with defenders, the effort and work he puts in. I think I wouldn't be wrong in saying that most Borough fans who've watched him in a Borough shirt so far have been more impressed with him in those few games than, you know, they were for certainly the last two seasons, but probably at all with the likes of Britta Sombalonga in recent years. I think he's made a huge difference to the team and the way Neil Warnock ultimately wants Borough to play. So for me on that one, Ikpeazu.
I think Ikpeazu as well. You know, I agree with that. I think he's the player Borough were crying out for. He might not be, you know, the headline signing, but I think he was the type of player Borough were crying out for, and I think he started brilliantly. I'll go on the late signings, because I guess they're the players we haven't seen yet. And I think Hernandez, I think, you know, with that kind of championship experience already, it adds a bit more balance, you know, as another real natural wide man. I know Alessania is a natural winger as well, but, you know, he's obviously, you know, a bit more patience is required there. But Hernandez has, you know, impressed, shown at this level before, and watching his interview with the club and kind of, you know, talking to people about him, those who've kind of followed him and who know him from his time at Norwich, I just think his hunger and desire is the type of player you want to bring in on loan. You know, I don't think this is a quick fix and, you know, somewhere for him to play for a few months. As Warnock said, and as I alluded to earlier, I think for him, this is just as important as it is Borough. So, I think he could make a real difference as well.
Just to finish off then with the squad, I'll come to Craig first. Give me a mark out of 10, Craig, and a summing up in a sentence or so about the summer window.
I'd go with 8 out of 10, and in a sentence, I think a pragmatic window, an exciting new direction, but just lacking that left back cover.
What about you, Dom?
Yeah, I'll go 8 out. I'm glad you went to Craig there, by the way, and put him on the spot. First, I'll go 8 out of 10 as well. But possibly, you know, if God forbid, if Piazza was to get injured, then that type of player, that type of centre forward, you're lacking, and obviously lack of cover at left back is an issue. But hopefully that's something that will be addressed in the free agent market. But on the whole, I think it's the most balanced Borough squad we've seen in years.
Brilliant stuff. You guys watching and listening, and you let us know your thoughts, what you mark the transfer window out of 10. Please do let us know in the comments over on Twitter or Facebook. Let's talk about Coventry then this weekend. They've not started the season too badly. 9 points, you know, probably above expectation. What do we expect from Coventry? And I suppose the bigger question, Craig, is what do we expect from Middlesbrough? Who do we expect to start? You know, it seems like Warnock's team's still just getting together. He's still trying to piece his first 11 to the way he wants it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. As you see it, Coventry have had a decent start to the season, and certainly, you know, the return at the Rego Arena for the first time in a couple of seasons, having needed a ground share with Birmingham, and they've won 2 out of 2 there so far this season. So clearly that's, you know, that good feeling, I presume, around the club and the fans seems to be there with that. It has been a really good start for them, and they do look a well-organised outfit, you know, solid at the back. Mark Robbins has always wanted them to be that. I alluded to it earlier, they tend to play like a 3-4-1-2 or 3-4-2-1. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Borough match that on Saturday, particularly, particularly given how good they were against Blackburn in that formation, and the fact that, you know, we're uncertain on Mark Bowler for Saturday. He picked up that injury, a tough tackle at the end of the Blackburn game, and certainly last week when the club put out an injury video, training video, sorry, Bowler wasn't in that. You couldn't see Bowler in any of the games. So obviously want to ask Warnock on Friday morning ahead of the game, but Bowler's selection is uncertain. And without Bowler, I think Borough don't have a natural player to play left back in a back four, which would make me think that they're probably better off going with a back five or back three. And as I say, matching up Coventry too, because Coventry do play that 3-4-1-2, and they rely heavily on the wing backs. Dabo, particularly on that right hand side, likes to get forward. He likes to make things happen. So particular challenges for Borough to think of and be aware of for Saturday. One thing I did note looking at Coventry is they give away a lot of fouls. No side has committed more fouls so far this season than Coventry. Obviously, we know Borough have excellent set-piece takers. They do have good height as well. Now, scoring from attacking set-pieces has not always been Borough's, most effective way, shall we say. But they have the players now, with the likes of Fry and Hall coming from the back, and Ikpiazu now up top. Crooks is a big lad as well, so I do wonder if they could maybe capitalise on that, get at Coventry, force them into a few more of those fouls, and look to exploit them from set pieces.
Just talking about Middlesbrough start the season, Dom, it's been a bit inconsistent. 3 draws, 1 win, 1 defeat. This is a game, though, that you would assume were our favourites, or would that be wrong to say so?
I think on paper, for me, Mark Robbins, the job he's done at Coventry is fantastic, and I'm surprised he isn't linked with more jobs elsewhere. You know, I'll be honest, last year when they came up, I tipped them to go back down. I remember when Borough beat Coventry earlier in the season at the Riverside, and Robbins then was talking about, his players need to believe that they belong in the Championship level. Well, that message has now clearly hit home, because they stayed up comfortably last year, really. And I made the mistake again, I think, in the pre-season predictions of saying they're going to go down again. And I think I'm going to be made to look daft there, because at the minute, you know, even I don't mean to sound disrespectful here, but given what they've gone through over the last few years, you know, mid-table for Coventry this year would be another huge step forward. But being back at their stadium which I don't think is called the Ricoh Arena anymore. It's Coventry Building Society Arena or whatever it is these days. You know, fantastic for him, huge boost. Imagine Borough having to play down the road at the stadium. It'd be sound for Craig if it was at the stadium alike, but it'd be, you know, you don't want to be playing out your city, do you? You know, playing out of home. So for them to get through that period and succeed on the pitch to win promotion and then to stay in the Championship is fantastic. All that said, yeah, I think Borough are favourites going into Saturday's game, and you would identify it as a game you want to win. I don't think a draw would be a bad result on Saturday. I think then you've got to build on it then. You know, looking at the start Forest have made. Again, on paper at the start of the season, you'd have looked at that as a difficult game. But I don't know who Forest are playing at the weekend, but that might well be toxic next Wednesday, mightn't it? By the time Borough go there, if they haven't got a result yet. So I think if you can get a draw at Coventry and beat Forest, you then play Blackpool at home and think this is a chance to kick on now. Craig did that bit earlier this week on kind of assessing Borough's September, and I completely agree with him. It's an appealing month, really. It's a chance for Borough to really kind of to get a grip and to kickstart the season, because although the opening month hasn't been brilliant, I think when you consider the injuries to key players like Tavernier and Watmore, and the fact that the transfer business wasn't concluded until the final days of the window, I think it's been a sound start. You know, I think it's been a fine start, and it can be a springboard if you take advantage of these games to come.
Yeah, Craig, how important is this month to Borough's season?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think definitely it's a big month. You know, we know from last season that one thing Warnock likes to do is kind of keep within touch and distance. And obviously, as Don mentions, given the injuries, given the kind of little gaps that there still were in the squad before the transfer window closed, to achieve what they did in the first month, I think ultimately with the odd disappointing day, it was a decent enough start of the season, but now it's about getting points on the board. We know the squad that they've got. Warnock will know that heading to January. This is what he's got to work with. There are players who still need a bit of bedding in time, but this month looks an ideal month to do it. You know, as Don mentioned, Coventry's probably your toughest game on paper, but Borough did the double over Coventry last season. So, you know, if you can go down there and get a positive result, your next four games are against, as things stand, the bottom four in the Championship. So, you know, you go and attack those games, you go and get, and it could be, you know, ideal games to kind of, you know, give Martin Piero, for example, a few more minutes and get him more up to speed with English football. So I think it could be a really, really important month for Borough, and not just in terms of getting those points on the board, but kind of getting, you know, some football into those types of players. Sporar, we know, hasn't played much competitive football this season, so it could be a month to give him plenty of minutes and get him up to speed. Yeah, I mean, I think going back to what Dom said, I'm pretty sure Nottingham Forest play Cardiff at the weekend, which is certainly not a game you want to play when you're in the kind of your situation they're in. I think they've got a few injuries themselves as well. And of course, Spence won't be available for the Borough game coming after that. So as Dom says, that could be toxic down there on Wednesday night. And yeah, it's a good month. The one uncertainty, I mean, at the start of the season, you would have looked at Sheffield United and expected that to be a difficult opponent. As it stands, they haven't won yet. They've had a terrible start of the season, but they've got four games, five if you include the cup, between now and then. So, you know, by the time Borough play Sheffield United, have they going to have turned the corner, or are they going to still be in dire straits? That's one. But as it stands at the minute, September's a really good month for Borough.
So just before I get your score predictions in for this weekend, Craig, you'll be heading down to that game, Coventry game. Where are you going to stop for your service stop? Because we all know our listeners and viewers love this conversation. So keep it brief. I don't want a rambling story like the last time.
Well, can I just put in here? Last week when we were doing, I'm not gonna pretend I work for the BBC and we can't name other podcasts, but when we chipped in for a guest appearance on the Borough Breakdown pod, it was on a Thursday night, I think it was, and Craig was on a day off. And he messaged us a couple of hours before and said, yeah, I'm sound to stop, but I'm on a day out today, so I might be at a service station. Even on his days off, he's spending his time in service station. Anyway, he was home, so unfortunately we didn't get the backdrop of Weatherby's Greggs or the Cornish Pasty Company.
Yeah, I think for Saturday, I'm probably looking around. I've probably mentioned it a few times, but I go to Download Festival when it's on every year, and that's kind of East Midlands, and it's a spiritual stop for us to go to Woodall services just outside of Sheffield on the way down there. So I'll probably head to Woodall on Saturday as well.
They've got a good Costa there, I think, if I remember correctly, haven't they? So there we go. Right, give me your score predictions then, Jen.
Just to make it a match day experience, I might go to Gisborough services and get myself a Subway on Saturday dinner time. It sort of feels like I'm part of it still.
Who's going to give the first score prediction then?
I'll go 2-1 Borough. Scrappy game, tough one, but Borough will come out with a 2-1 win.
I'll go 1-1, I think, you know, Coventry have started well, and the boost of them being back home at the Coventry Building Society Arena has obviously been huge for them. I think it'd be a good point for Borough if they got a draw. So I think 1-1.
Well, there we have it. Hopefully Borough can pick up all 3 points against Coventry. Head over to Gazette Live to follow the game. Head over to the Gazette Live sport page to keep up with all the latest Middlesbrough FC news, including Warnock's press conference, which is tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, guys. Yeah. So you'll have all the updates from the manager on Friday morning. In the meantime, please remember to like and subscribe and enjoy your Thursday afternoon.